Hi, and welcome to the Passion Podcast. It's been over a month since we've been together. It's summertime, and that means we've been all over the world, literally. But I'm sorry that we've been a little slow in getting a podcast to you guys. I hope you're still out there. We're going to lose members if we don't do this more often, Jonathan. And, you know, people have told me you got to keep this coming every week or else nobody's going to stick around. So I'm guessing maybe we were almost up to 500 people, and so we maybe drop back down to 200 or 300, but we'll build back up. So thanks for joining us. We're in Atlanta, Georgia, in the Passion House, and excited about it. It's a beautiful day outside, gorgeous, and it is a big celebration around here today because it is my birthday today. So thank you very much, and happy birthday to me. There's no applause from Brad or Jonathan. I'll clap, too. That's three of us. And you know what I learned? I went to Regis and Kathy Lee once before it was Regis and Kelly. And they taught us, the little guy, the warm-up guy taught us, if you clap real fast, it sounds like more people clapping. So then only there were 100 people in the audience, but then when you listen to it on TV, it sounds like this big thing. It's because we're clapping real fast. So let's try that again, okay? Big celebration. Here we go. Let's try the fast clap. See if it sounds like more people. You ready? I don't know. Jonathan just hurt his neck. Anyway, happy birthday to me. We had a great lunch at a Mexican place around the corner that we all love. And we just I've done a double dip here. Brad and Jonathan went out for a special treat, Jim and Nick's barbecue. If you're not from around here, you don't know what that is. But if you're from, where are Jim and Nick's? They're in Alabama mostly. Sounds like somewhere that would be from Alabama, Jim and Nick's barbecue. But we have one up the road. I want to say it's up in Forsyth County, which is just north of us, maybe Cherokee County. But anyway, Jim and Nick's not bad, but if you go to Jim and Nick's, do not miss, whatever you do, the lemon icebox pie. It is absolutely outrageous, and these guys were kind enough to go and get some in celebration. Brad and I tried to get in there last night. In fact, we ate dinner there last night, but they were out of pie by the time they served us. They were trying to close and sweep us out the door, so thank you guys for the pie. And we have birthday cake in the kitchen, so I'd already had a piece of that rolling as well. So we got Jim and Nick's lemon icebox pie. We've got birthday cake with buttercream icing, I might add, which is the big, that's the important element in the whole birthday celebration. It's not the cupcakes, it's not the cake, it's the buttercream icing. So we're a little amped up, is what I'm telling you, and we're pretty excited right now. And a great friend just dropped by and brought a gift to me, which I want to tell you about because it is amazing. I wish I had time to tell you about the whole book. But it is called Modern Masters, American Abstraction at Mid-Century. And it's a Smithsonian American Art Museum book about the mid-century abstract art movement in America, which heavily influenced my dad, who was an artist, as most of you know, and which, as a result of his love for abstract art, which we have some of in our home, so don't make fun of anything hanging on the walls when you come to our house, because my dad probably painted it. But nonetheless, it's an amazing thing, and I just brought it in here to the podcast because I love the cover of it especially, and I just wanted to kind of look at it for the rest of the time we're talking together. So happy birthday to me. I'm an old guy and getting older fast, but I'm not going to let that slow me down. I got an email early this morning from a friend here in town, who was wishing me happy birthday, and he said, by the way, I just want to remind you that Henry Blackaby, and I don't know if you guys out there know Henry Blackaby or not, but in 1990, he released this Bible study material called Experiencing God, which at the time totally revolutionized the church in America. I mean, there weren't very many churches in this country that either a Sunday school class, a Bible study, small group, or the whole church or somebody didn't go through experiencing God. And the whole premise of it, it's really simple. It's like most things that I write or come up with or anybody else. They really all can be summarized in one sentence. And experiencing God is the same way. In fact, that's kind of the way I read books. You know, you read the opening two pages and the last two pages, and you pretty much got the idea because it's all about an idea. And his idea was revolutionary for the church. And he's the guy who said out loud, the thing that you must do is find where God is at work and join him in what he's doing. And that was the nugget of experiencing God that changed people's lives. So in other words, instead of saying, hey, we're waiting for God to come down to our 3-acre campus and do X, Y, Z, it's like, hey, just look up in your city or the state or the world and find where is God working and then go join what God is doing. And that's a pretty special way to live because God's moving all over the world all the time. And he wrote that at 55 years of age, and that's way older than I am today, I might add. So I've got some ground to cover and maybe actually a chance to do something good in life is what the way I took that email this morning. So that was really good. And Andy, who was on with us on the last podcast we had back. Andy and I doing a little dialogue together. He's been 51 for a long time, actually for almost a month now. So he's way older than me, and so that always gives me encouragement and something to look forward to. So welcome to our birthday podcast. We're celebrating here, Jim and Nick's. A little bit of it's left here. Doesn't look too appetizing right now, but God, it was good. We got a little birthday cake with buttercream icing, a little bit left of it here, and we're excited to be with you guys. We're going to talk about a whole lot of things, try to catch up today. Shelly and I are headed out of town at the end of the week down to Sydney to be with our friends down there for Hillsong Conference, and then back here and just to one of the other great, beautiful beachfront locations in the world. Go from Sydney Harbor and Harbor Bridge and the Sydney Opera House to Daytona Beach, Florida, one of the other great collisions of land and sea. And we'll be down there with 7,000 teenagers for camp for 4 or 5 days. Tomlin and myself will be. So that's pretty beautiful right there. That's the high and the low, man. The time with God in the middle is going to be incredible. We've had two phenomenal times down there at Daytona together, Chris and I have. But the city, well, the city's looking up because I just did a student conference, Jonathan, in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. They were smart enough to call that student life in the Smokies. So I'm hitting the high spots, but Sydney's definitely going to lift things up. So we're on our way to Sydney. We'll be gone for a while. We're on our way straight from there to Daytona Beach. We'll be gone for a while, but we'll be back, settling back in to the end of July and be here and back on the podcast with you guys. In fact, maybe I'll take the little thing around and I don't know, probably won't, but I'll try to bring you something from the journey. So we're going to cover new music today. We're going to talk about Passion 2010 today. We're going to talk a little bit about Passion City Church today. We're going to talk about some of the things that are going on around the house. We just got back from two World City stops in preparation for a possible world tour in 2010. We're going to talk about that a little bit and catch you guys up. But the main thing I want to say today before we go into this new song by David Crowder, and if I haven't said this already, I think I did, David Crowder's new CD called Church Music is on its way to the world in September, and all I can say is get ready. It's just an absolute beautiful piece of music, and the CD is a whole new invention that Crowder always seems to come at things from a fresh and interesting perspective, and this time he's done no different than that. But his radio single is out now. And in fact, it's on iTunes right now. I think it actually went to radio this week as well, so hopefully any of you Christian radio listeners out there, you'll be hearing it sometime soon. If not, you can download it on iTunes. Just look for it. It's probably the number one single on the Christian page at iTunes, but it's called How He Loves, a cover of a song by John Mark McMillan, and a really amazing song. Crowder has done a phenomenal job with it as well, and just really, really beautiful, and we're going to play you a bit of that. But before we get to that, I just want to leave this with you today and something just to chew on as we kind of move further into the podcast, because we've got so much going around here, and we have church tonight. Passion City Church meets tonight. It's a weeknight, but that's when we meet. It's the middle of the week right now. There's just a small core team of us, and some of us are out of town. So it's just this little bitty band of people, really. And one of the things that's been guiding us and undergirding us from the very first time our core group met when we got home from the world tour last year is a passage out of Isaiah 28. You know, we're always in Isaiah 26:8, but go a couple of chapters forward to chapter 28. There's an amazing passage there, and I don't know what you have going on in your life today, what's going on in your world, but I want this to be an encouragement to you wherever you are. In fact, we thought about today encouraging all you guys that are out there doing summer missions, and maybe you're listening to the podcast, who knows where. A friend of mine just left for Honduras before the weekend, so I don't know what in the world's going on in his life right now. The whole country's turned upside down in just a few days, but maybe you're out somewhere serving God, and you're hearing the podcast, and we do want to breathe on you encouragement today. But at the same time, I used to do this all the time when I was a campus minister full-time. I would always ask the students at the last week of the term, how many of you guys are going to do summer missions? And, you know, a lot of hands would go up around the room, and I'd say, because we're going to pray for all the people going to do summer missions. I'm going to have you stand, and we're going to pray that God will just really use you in a powerful way. So if you're going specifically somewhere this summer to tell people about the story of faith and the story of grace, and you're going somewhere with the intention of reflecting Christ to people this summer, then raise your hand. We want to pray for you. And so hands would go up again, and I'd do that till everybody was sick and tired of it, you know, so they put them down again. I said, so what I'm trying to say is, if your intention this summer is to make Jesus famous, and you're going to a specific destination this summer with the hope that your time there is going to make Christ famous, we want to pray for you and send you out. And the whole point being, I was saying it enough times that hopefully everybody in the room would raise their hand at some point, meaning I'm going to do a summer internship at Coca-Cola, and my aim there is to make Jesus famous at the little cubbyhole that I work in where I'm doing who knows what for the summer, or I'm going to work at my dad's company for the summer because that's an easy job for me to get, but I really want to make a difference there for Christ, or I'm going to go and nanny for some kids back in my hometown for the summer. I really want to make Christ famous there. Or I'm going to Tanzania or to Turkey or to Togo, wherever people are going. And so we always had this end of the semester talk. People never caught on, but we always had this end of the semester talk about summer missions. And the thesis was everybody is a summer missionary, and everybody is on display somewhere. And so for you guys that are in Turkey or Tunisia, man, God bless you. That's just an awesome thing to step into another culture, and you probably figured out already that you needed them more than they needed you. That you needed Tunisia more than Tunisia needed you, and that God's doing more in your life than you could have ever thought, dreamed, or imagined when you got on a plane and headed off to Africa. Or you may just be around the corner in Tennessee somewhere, and you're doing a normal thing, and I'm telling you, what you're doing is just as significant as anybody else doing anything else. And I was somewhere this weekend, and somebody was going on and on and on about all these people God had called into full-time Christian service and how great that was. And the longer they talked in this room, the more uncomfortable I got for all the other people in the room that are doing something significant with their lives that's not, quote, full-time Christian service. And so I got an idea. Let's eradicate the term full-time Christian service from our vocabulary, or people that are called into the full-time ministry. You know, that's just a misnomer. And I think my deal is I work for a ministry. I'm a pastor of a church, and that is my job. But it's no more special than a person who works as a bond trader down the street, or a guy who's a baseball coach at the high school across town, or the lady who's raising three kids in the next neighborhood over. We're all living our lives, and we're all living our lives for God to make an impact on people where God has us. And most of the time, we don't choose where God has us. God chooses where he has us. All we can choose is to make a difference there for him. And so with Passion City Church, we're building, but we're building slowly. Passion's rolling along fast here, and everything we're doing, this passage kind of been staying with us. And I mentioned it on a podcast we did a few weeks ago for another unnamed ministry, the Catalyst podcast. And in fact, we had a live audience for that, Jonathan, which was pretty amazing. You guys are doing pretty good, but we had four, like, for real, like, young 20-year-olds in the room doing the podcast. I loved it. And so we're thinking about and toying with the idea of actually bringing in a live audience for the Passion Podcast, because it made it a whole lot different. These students, some of them were in school, out of school, out of grad school. It was just so incredible meeting them. And if any of you guys are listening to this, by the way, thank you so much for coming. It was incredible. So the passage is what we were going to share, and it is Isaiah 28, verse 16. And this is what it says. It says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold," and that's a beautiful word in and of itself, by the way. And if you ever read I Am Not, But I Know I Am, it's a cool little study of the word behold there, which I won't get into here. I am, that goes with the behold if you haven't read that. I am the one who is laid as a foundation in Zion, a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not be in haste. And that, I mean, you have to get that. I mean, if you're not getting that, it's not because God isn't making it clear, because he said, I am the one who's laid the stone, A. So anybody that's either in Tunisia or wherever it is that you ended up this summer, you're not the one laying the stone. God is the one laying the stone. You're not the one building the foundation. God is the one who's laid the foundation before you ever arrived. And long after you're there, God has been at work. And that's the beauty of finding rest and not being in a hurry, which is what this passage is all about. And rest isn't taking it easy, and not being in a hurry doesn't mean that we don't have a sense of urgency. It just means that we know it's not dependent on us to make it happen. It's depending on God, who is already making it happen. And wherever we go this summer, we're walking into a story already in progress. So nobody is starting the church. People say, I hear you're starting a church in Atlanta. Wrong. I hear y'all are starting a new deal. Wrong. You know, I hear y'all are starting a Bible study in this little town in China. Wrong. God is already at work everywhere in the world, and we're walking into stories in motion every time we walk into any environment. And that's what this verse is about. It says, I am the one who has laid as a foundation in Zion a stone, a tested stone. Listen to how much he wants us to get this stone. A stone, a foundation, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of a sure foundation, because that's Jesus Christ. He is the foundation, and he is the rock that our lives, our ministries, our stories are being built upon. And he says, whoever believes, whoever's confident in Jesus, whoever's focused on the fact that God is the one doing the work, God is the one laying the foundation, God is the one who is putting all the pieces in place, and he's just inviting us to join him. Whoever believes that will not be in haste. And the big challenge for all of us in life and in ministry is to rush. Hurry. It's got to be done today. We got to get it going. We got to get some momentum, traction, whatever. And, you know, here we are, this little band of Passion City Church. There's 40 of us, for crying out loud. And we had a big family Sunday a couple of weeks ago and had all the kids over. There's about 20 of them. So we're talking 60 people. And we've been going at it for almost a year now. And people are like, well, when are you going to do this? And when are you going to do that? And when are you going to start one of these? And it's like, well, I don't know. I know there is a cornerstone that is a tested, precious, sure foundation stone. We are building on him. He is the one who is orchestrating everything that's going on. And for that reason, we're never going to be in a hurry. We're not going to be in haste. We're not going to be hasty in the process, because we're confident about what God can do. And God can do more in an hour than we can do in a lifetime if we're walking in step with him and in the right timing with him. So wherever you are, I just want you to be encouraged and look around and know that God is there. He was there before you got there. He's been working, and he is the answer for the people that you are around today. He is the Savior. You can't save anybody. You can't heal anybody. You can't change anybody. You can't awaken anybody from the dead. You can't rescue anybody, restore anybody, free anybody. Only Jesus can do that. And so he's not asking you to be a savior. He's just asking you to be in the story. He's not asking you to turn water into wine. He's just asking you to be in the story and be available, because he is the one who works miracles. He is the one who builds the church. He is the one who changes lives. And I don't know if this will be for anybody or not, but I kind of feel like it is. And I just want to make sure I share it and pass it on with you, because I've gotten some incredible encouragement today because of my birthday. Not only the Henry Blackaby thing, but this came in an email from a real dear friend of mine out in Texas. And I don't know where it comes from, or maybe it was just their prayer over me. But it says, you are called to follow Jesus right here, right now, right in this community with these people. And I really feel like that's for somebody that's listening today. Both of these things together, that there is being laid by God a foundation stone under your feet right now, a precious cornerstone for you right now. But then to hear these words, you are called to follow Jesus right here, right now, right in this community with these people. And if I can just stop there and interject, it means that the purposes for God, the purposes of God for your life and my life today are not future. It's not tomorrow. It's not next year. It's not when I get to Africa, or when I get home, or when I get to the university, or when I get moved in with these people, or somewhere down the road. God's purposes for us are not future. They're present tense, because that's all we have is the present. And so he says, you're called to follow Jesus right here. So just look around wherever you are, wherever you're listening to this podcast. That's where you're called to follow Jesus. When? Right now. To whom? Right in this community with these people. Back to the quote, you're called to be true to your own DNA and the way God has wired you. You're designed not only to reach these people, but to also live among them. Don't be distracted. Remember that God can do great things through those who are slow, steady, and faithful. Your calling is simply to follow him. And that's what we were saying on this other podcast that I mentioned a few minutes ago. Leadership is following Jesus. And the Christian life is following Jesus. Obedience is following Jesus. Vision is following Jesus. Faithfulness is following Jesus. And so I don't know what's coming at you, but don't be distracted. and remember that God can do great things through those who are slow, steady, and faithful. Your calling is simply to follow Him. And He's there with you. He loves you. He is part of what you're doing right now. And this is a little bit of How He Loves from David Crowder Band. It's the new single, the early single release from their album called Church Music, which is coming to rock the world in September. And it's available on iTunes, this little single is right now, if you haven't gotten it already. But we're going to hear a little bit, and then we'll be back with some updates on all things going on in the Passion world. So thanks for joining us today on the Passion Podcast. Happy birthday to me. And this is David Crowder Band. We'll be back in just a minute.
He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of His wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful You are and how great Your affections are for me. And oh, how He loves us. Oh, oh, how He loves us. How He loves us all. Oh.
We're back on the Passion Podcast, and we're back in more ways than one. I mentioned that it's been a really crazy summer already around here, and our Passion team especially. We're getting ready for Passion 2010, which I'll mention in just a minute. But we've had a team that has been out in South America, and just recently, teams gotten back from Europe. And if you don't know already, and you missed the Passion 268 blog, we are planning a small Passion World Tour for 2010, Lord willing. And we're not going to be able to make it back to 17 cities. We're not going to be able to spend 3 months on the road like we did last year because we're planting Passion City Church on this sure foundation cornerstone, who is Jesus. But we do want to build on the partnerships and relationships that have become so valuable to us. So we want to see more university students globally awaken to the idea of living to make Jesus famous. And so we've been praying about it and planning about a handful of cities for 2010, and a couple of them are looking pretty solid. I can tell you our team was in Kiev, Ukraine, or Kyiv, for those of you who are in Ukraine, and it was a phenomenal time for them. I didn't get a chance to make it to Ukraine, but Brad was there, and Cheryl, our team leader, and Amy, and they were able to meet up with all these folks who had, you know, really stepped out in faith with us for this thing last year. I mean, it was like no one knew what was going to happen in Ukraine. We didn't know it was going to happen, and ministries, a lot of them didn't know who Passion was, but they believed in the vision, and they just stepped up and said, hey, we'll be a part of this, and it was incredible. But what always happens, what you want to always happen, is for God to show up and for something to be really impacting and true and genuine and authentic, and that's what Passion Kiev was. And so a whole bunch more friends were around the table this time, which is always what you want. You don't want to go back to second year and have less people there going, man, you guys were complete jerks, and you didn't do anything you said you were going to do, and it was all about you and not about the kingdom, and I feel like you kind of took more than you left behind, and we wanted to do the opposite. We wanted to be about Jesus and not about Passion. We wanted to be givers and not takers. We wanted to bless these cities and bless these ministries and bless these students, not come in there and do something for our own benefit. And we wanted to be about the kingdom, and so we wanted to have a unifying heart that recognized the whole work of God in a city. And I think people saw that because that was really, truly our desire, and people were coming to the meeting in Kiev saying, hey, last time I wasn't with you. This time we're going to be leading the charge, because even though we weren't with you, our students found out about it like students do. They went, their lives were changed, our church has changed, our ministry has changed, this God changed us. And so those guys flew to London. I met them in London. I was speaking in Oxford, and we planned a meeting in London a few days before that happened. And we met in the Tower Bridge, which is really, really cool. It's the one that we see the picture. Most people think that's the London Bridge, but London Bridge is a different bridge over the Thames River. The old London Bridge, which is really not that cool either, was sold to an oil tycoon and dismantled and moved to Havasu City. Arizona, where it is now a part of some, you know, huge amusement parky kind of thing that he built there, which is a story I totally do not get or understand. But the Tower Bridge, or Tower Bridge, is the one that you think of in the picture. It's the icon, one of the icons of London. And our team leader, Mike, found a room in this bridge. So if you go up almost to the crossover, the flyover between the two towers, there's a room up there. It's a long, skinny room. You're inside this, you know, famous fortified landmark of London. And that was an incredible backdrop to gather ministry leaders, all the guys and women who'd been a part of us for Passion London last year. But then so many new streams, the navigators were there, and they were just so excited about being part of it. There were some churches in London that we didn't know last time around that are super influential kingdom players in London who had come along this time for the very first time. A couple of other streams and ministries represented. So it's just this beautiful collection of people in this room, and everybody's still buzzing about Passion London. It was so exciting. So had an incredible meeting there, able to cast vision again, talk about next year. So Lord willing, in May of 2010, we're going to do an Eastern European gathering in Kiev. And we already know that word's traveled out to Moldova, to Belarus, to Russia, and I'm sure it's going to travel around to the other countries that surround Ukraine. And then we're going to do a Western European gathering in London, a two-night possibly event that we hope will attract people from the Netherlands. We had some folks from Norway come down for our meeting, but obviously anywhere in Scandinavia, France, friends from Paris, London, I hope you'll jump on the train and come over and join us. Anybody, Italy, Spain, doesn't matter, Germany, everybody, come on. So we're excited about the Passion World Tour, but long before we get to that is Passion 2010, and it's coming fast. Less than 6 months from now, we will have seen a massive, I hope, history-changing gathering happen here in Atlanta. And though it's summer and it feels like there's a big lull, it's time right now for you to join us in making sure every university-age person in America knows about Passion 2010. We know a lot of people are coming from around the world. We met Jimmy, by the way. Shout out to Southampton, England. At the Oxford event I spoke at a couple of weeks ago, and he's a college leader, or a uni leader in Southampton. They were part of the Passion Live Link that we did back in March, I want to say it was. They were up at 2 a.m. so they could join us live on the webcast. And he said, hey, we were there. You guys remember you mentioned us and asked Matt Redman where Southampton was? Well, that was us. We were emailing in, letting you guys know we were on. And he said, and by the way, this was a shocker. He said, I've already got 9 people signed up to come to Passion 2010 in Atlanta. And I just, my eyes got huge. And I was like, are you serious? They got 9 people coming from Southampton, England already to Atlanta. I was so fired up by that. And so hello and come on to our friends from Southampton. If you're listening to the podcast today, that is so exciting. And I'm hoping that word is trickling around like that. We're sort of in one of these gap places on registration where the price doesn't go up till September 15th. It's a long time. So there's no real big incentive to like, man, I got to register because the price is going to go up. But yet groups are registering and people are registering every single day. But now's the time for you to help us spread the word and let people know. And one of the big ways that we're going to be doing that is by doing another web stream link on September 14th on Monday night. So mark that date down, put that on a calendar, start rallying the troops. Last time we did the launch link, this time it's just the Passion 2010 live link, but we did the launch for registration. And we started the web stream 4 days before it happened. And our question was, how many students and campuses can we gather in 4 days? And we just blitzed everybody and said, hey, Monday night, XYZ time, come to your computer, we're all going to be together. And we were here in the Passion House in the big room in the back, and it was awesome. And I mean, it was, I want to say it was hundreds of campuses, if not close to 1,000 campuses that were involved, 300 campuses that were involved, and students from all over the place. And so now we've got 2.5 months to ask the same question. How many campuses, how many students, how many nations can we link up for prayer and worship for one night on September 14th? In 2.5 months. And I want to hope that it's going to be 1,000 plus campuses and many, many nations, and lots of folks like Jimmy from Southampton, and a bunch of students from all over America. And if you want to come to the Passion House and join us, we'll try to squeeze you in. I think we had about 50 or 60 people in here last time. Brad just looked at me like, don't say that. We don't have room for people here. But you can always sit out in the parking lot, look through the window. But nonetheless, it's September 14th, Monday night, Passion 2010 live link. We've already launched. Now we're linking. And so we're going to be praying together. We're going to be worshiping together. Going to be getting some feedback from you guys from around the country. Going to be talking about what God's going to do on campuses this fall. And I hope you guys already have fresh vision for what God wants to do where you are this fall. And then we're going to be praying together toward Passion 2010 coming fast in Atlanta. So mark that down. Tell your leader about it. Tell your small group about it. So all you need is a computer. If you got a high-speed internet connection, that's preferred. But we got a low-speed connection for those of you who are in Djibouti. And so anywhere you are, you can jump on with us, and it'll be fantastic. So that's coming up. Don't miss it. I think that's everything we wanted to cover today. We're excited. I'm off to Australia. Can't wait to be down there. And you guys listen to the podcast. I look forward to seeing you. Please give us a little shout out when we get there. And after that, lovely Daytona Beach. And any of you guys headed down to Student Life Camp at Daytona, we're excited to see you. I don't know if there's room for you. If any of you high school, middle school type people want to come and join us, but you can find that out on the website, I'm sure. But we'll be back with you pretty soon after that with the Passion Podcast. And thank you guys for being a part of what we're doing. Thank you for praying, believing. You know, God is amazing. And that cornerstone, that sure foundation, He's here today. I can sense it. I can feel it. I can feel Him and sense Him in our midst today. And because of that, you know, we're building on a rock. And I know that we are going with God to do the things that God has for us to do. I'm going to leave you with some new music from Matt Redman today. We had him on a couple of podcasts ago talking about his new album that's on the way. In fact, it's coming fast now in August. But he also has a single out that's called This Is How We Know. I think he actually played a little bit of this for us when he was on the podcast with us. But this is from iTunes Singles, just a little sample of it on the way out. Hey, we love you guys, and thank you for being a part of the 500 strong that are representing the Passion Podcast Nation and movement. And hopefully we'll meet up with you somewhere along the way like we did with Jimmy in Oxford a few weeks ago. And until then, know that we appreciate you guys so much, and we'll see you soon on the Passion Podcast.
This is how we know, this is how we know what love is. Just one look at your cross, and this is where we see, this is where we see how love works. For you surrendered your all, and this is how we know that you have loved us first, and this is where we chose to love you in return, for you saw.